It's time to dip our toe into the world of technology with gadget detective Fevzi Turkap, who is here to tell us, to begin with, all about another one of these smartwatches which has come onto the market, Fevzi. Now, these things seem to do everything these days, include practically tell us to breathe. So what can this one do?
My one does tell me to breathe, actually.
It does.
Actually it does. When it notices I'm a bit stressed, it tells me to breathe. And when I've been sitting for 50 minutes in a row, it asks me to stand up.
No.
And the other day, I'm usually quite mild-mannered when I'm not one of these people that swear at sat-navs and so forth. But when it told me to breathe at a point when I was particularly stressed,
yes,
I gave it what for.
Yeah,
and then
I
felt rather silly because I was abusing my wrist effectively.
You see, I feel all of a sudden a little bit backwards in just having a watch that tells the time. I mean, one with actual hands that doesn't do any of this other stuff.
Well, you know, you will like this one. Okay, so this is a smartwatch, but it's called a hybrid smartwatch. And the reason why it's called a hybrid smartwatch is it looks like a normal watch. It's got hands.
Okay.
On it. It's round and it's got hands that tell the time. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, it's got a little circular high-resolution display which can do all the smart things for it. This is actually one of my favourite watches, and the company that makes it is a company called Withings, W-I-T-H-I-N-G-S. They're a French company. They do a range of these things that are connected to the internet for your health. They do a sleep monitor, they do the smartwatch, they do smart scales, they do blood pressure monitors, all of those things, but they all link up to their HealthMate app and all the data comes together, and it's actually one of the best apps and some of the best ones. So let me tell you about this particular one. It's called the ScanWatch.
Right.
It's the Withings ScanWatch, and as I say, it's a hybrid smartwatch and it does a number of things. Its focus is health. Okay, so some are more on fitness. This one does fitness, but also health. So it's got a built-in basic ECG, electrocardiogram, and in particular, it can detect a condition called atrial fibrillation.
Mm.
Now, there's probably about 750,000 people walking around the UK with atrial fibrillation who don't know it.
Yeah.
And the reason why that is very hard to catch, because if you think, oh, my heart's fluttering, and you go to the doctor and they put a monitor on you, what are the odds that your heart will misbehave during
at
that
moment,
particular,
that
even that day or that excuse me, or that week? Atrial fibrillation is an important condition to detect, because people with AF tend to have an increased risk of stroke, something like six times those without it, but that can be mitigated by changes in lifestyle and medication, but only if you know you've got it. So this thing detects atrial fibrillation and uses artificial intelligence to study the little trace that's produced, just like an ECG, and it will tell you whether it thinks you may have it. In addition to that, it does oximetry. So you may have seen what are known as pulse oximeters, those things that clamp onto the finger.
Yes.
And measure the amount of oxygen in your blood.
Yeah.
And they're very, very popular these days, because one of the things about COVID, sometimes people have it and they don't know it, and they look generally well, but one of the telltale signs can be that the oxygen level in their blood drops. Otherwise, they can look quite well. So again, it's a telltale sign. This measures that. So you don't have to clamp it to your finger like the pulse oximetry. This does it from the watch. It also keeps an eye on your heartbeat. If your heart starts racing, that's to say tachycardia, or is very slow for any reason, bradycardia, then it can detect those two conditions as well. And it detects disturbances in your sleep. If you wear it at night, it will detect disturbances in your sleep, which can be indicative of sleep apnea. So sleep apnea is where a person sometimes stops breathing for periods at night. They do restart, but sleep apnea, again, can be a dangerous condition, because it can lead to atrial fibrillation, amongst other things. So this thing does pretty much all of it. It does sleep tracking. It gives you a sleep score to say not just how long you've been asleep, but what was the quality of that sleep. Was it deep sleep? Was it rapid eye movement or REM sleep, which is, when we dream? Or was it light sleep? Only the first two are sort of restorative sleeps, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's light sleep. You can be asleep for 8 hours, but if you're constantly sleeping light, then you don't get the benefit of the sleep, and you can wake up feeling quite tired and sometimes quite unwell. So it comes in two sizes, 38 millimeters diameter and 42 mil. depending on the size of your wrist and what you prefer. Black and white colours. They're very, very stylish. I mean, I have to say, these watches, I actually got a compliment from someone who doesn't normally compliment me on my wrist wear. And, she said, oh, that actually looks quite cool. It's a very stylish watch. I think it's not a... this French company Withings is known for sort of having things that are very stylish as well. Their quality is kind of Apple-esque, but they've gone a different road. This watch looks like a watch, but it does all these things as well. Not cheap. The smaller one is about £250. The larger one is about £273. But actually, it's a very stylish watch, and it does all those things which, in some cases could be lifesavers, frankly.
Yeah, you see, the thing is with this is that it's all very well and good, but I think I'd convince myself that I was dying, Fevzi, and consequently I would have paid £250 for the privilege.
Yeah, but the worried well is a problem that has to be met with these sorts of devices, and that's why I mentioned the AI, because the artificial intelligence that examines your heartbeat is quite cautious. The false positives on it are quite low.
And right.
It's a prompt to go and see your doctor.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it is, because you can track your heart health and other metrics with this, it actually helps you improve these things. You know, when you get measurably fitter and your heart rate starts coming down with exercise and so forth, then that's a really positive thing, because, you know, it's a bit like, you know, when people weigh themselves and you know, they weigh themselves once a week, and that gives them the impetus to keep going if they're heading in the right direction. And it's a bit like that with sort of cardiovascular health as well. The other nice thing about this is the battery lasts for ages on each charge. So if you get, for example, an Apple smartwatch, the battery goes typically about a day and a half if you wear it all the time. Mm. Now, in the old days, that was fine. I say the old days, that's last year. You could wear it during the day and charge it at night. But if you're using the watch to measure your sleep as well, when are you going to charge it?
So yeah, that's
this,
true.
This
that's
is nice. The fact that this goes for many, many days as opposed to about 36 hours is a huge boon. And I just invite you to just have a look at it, because I think it's the sort of watch that people might actually just buy for its looks. It's an extremely stylish watch. It's called the Withings Smartwatch, Scan Watch, I beg your pardon. And it's got 4.5 stars out of 5.
Okay, good stuff. So that's the Withings Scan Watch. Fevzi Turkalp is with us, gadget detective, dipping our tentative toe into the world of technology this week. And one of the big tech stories around this week has been all about fake news, Fevzi.
Yeah, so the bosses of Google, Facebook and Twitter have been hauled up in front of American politicians following the storming of the Capitol, the insurrection that took place there recently. And they're being charged effectively with not doing enough to combat fake news. And the fact is that fake news is promulgated on their platforms. And some of these politicians are pretty angry about it. They were directly asked whether they believed that they were bore any responsibility for the events that took place in Washington by virtue of the fact that their platforms carried fake news that incited people to violence. And none of them were prepared to give a yes or no answer, interestingly enough. And the subtext to all of this is that these social media companies have protection under the law, whereby although they can moderate what goes on their platform, they're not legally responsible for it. So if you compare that to a broadcaster or a magazine or a newspaper, they are potentially liable for misinformation and whatever is published in their publication or on their station. But social media has thus far successfully argued that no, it's not a publisher, it's not like a magazine or a radio station, it's more akin to British Telecom owning the copper wires, and BT wouldn't be held responsible for what's said over the copper wires that are on its network. And, you know, Facebook and the like have argued the same. And so far, they've had that protection. It's called Section 230 that gives them that protection. And that is under threat now, because politicians, or some politicians at least, feel that they're not doing enough, that they should be held responsible for what goes out on their platform. And that if they were guess what? It wouldn't go out. I would actually go a step further. I would make the CEOs personally responsible.
Yeah.
Just as there is such a thing as corporate manslaughter, where individuals can be held responsible through negligence and so forth, then maybe it's time to just say, you know what? Get your act in order. This time next year, you'll be legally responsible for what goes out.
Yeah, it's interesting. That is a story that it's going to rumble and rumble on, isn't it? Forevermore, yeah. It feels like.
Yeah, no. It may do. I mean, interestingly, with this story, the chair, Mike Doyle, of the group of politicians, challenged them to remove 12 prolific anti-vaxxers from their platforms. And he claimed that those 12 anti-vaxxers alone were responsible for 65% of vaccine disinformation. Now, it's difficult, and particularly in America, because, you know, freedom of speech is enshrined in their constitution. Mm. However, you know, there are limits on freedom of speech in any society, and you know they often talk about you don't have the right to shout fire in a crowded cinema, you know. So I don't think this thing can go on and on, because it's actually undermining democracy, because we can't agree on what's true, much less what we think about what's true.
Yeah, but we can't agree on what to do about it at the same time, which is what makes me think we may have a fair few months left before any conclusions are reached. Fevzi, as ever, thank you so much. That's Fevzi Turkalp, our gadget detective on BBC Radio Berkshire.